Hello, this is Lisa Russick with the podcast We Are All Psychic, and today we have a really cool guest that I'm excited about. And I'm excited about every guest, but she's been a mysterious one because we've gone back and forth trying to get the times right, and it's been like a few months of wondering, what is this person about and how will she answer the question? Sally, would you like to say hello?
Hi, hello. Thank you so much for having me.
I am glad you are here. And do you think we're all psychic?
I absolutely do. Yes,
you do. Okay, absolutely. So how'd you get to that conclusion?
So I think that there is so much more beyond our, and I'm using air quotes here, our normal senses. Just for example, the visible spectrum, if you compared the whole spectrum of light to the distance from New York to Los Angeles, our visible spectrum would be maybe the length of your arm.
Yeah, that's crazy, so, isn't it?
Yeah, and we perceive like 1/100,000% of what's actually in the universe. I always say it's like there's a party going on and we don't even know about it.
Yeah, because we don't have the sensors, or do we?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And yet, at some level we do. Yes. We do sense those things. And for that reason, I think that we are all psychic.
I agree with you 100%. I've said that before on the podcast, that if they could, the people who know how to analyze frequencies and patterns, could just go through our spectrum of things that we don't have ears, eyes, or even do, and they maybe merge together, and that's where the psychic comes from. They could look for patterns in those frequency ranges. Maybe they could figure out and, you know, put an animal that might react to it, like a whiskers, I don't know, see, you know, what happens. Because, you know, I'm convinced, like, whiskers on dogs and cats, and because they have them on their sides and stuff too. They do something else. They feel like something, or they do something that we can't comprehend because we don't have them. That's something I've always been fascinated with. Whiskers, you know, they're just amazing to me. What are they? What do they do? We have no real clue what they experience with them, you know. But I love your answer. I agree completely with that. So listeners and watchers, this is a video podcast on Spotify. Did you want it to be a video podcast on Spotify? Yes, you did. Okay, good. It is now definitely a video podcast on Spotify. And Sally was coming to talk about, you know, we have talked about on the podcast shadow work and looking into your shadow self to find things out and try to process, grow through it and grow to be happier and get to know yourself better, love yourself. She's going to talk some about how she teaches this and like a different way. So I can't wait to hear what you're going to say about all this, because I'm kind of going through a phase right now where I'm dealing with some shadow stuff. So it's good timing. I guess that's why I kept getting bumped around. Great. Yeah, seriously. So how would you introduce what you do exactly?
So I use a variety of techniques, including EFT and emotional freedom techniques and NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. And I think that helps us get in touch with all of those energies that we were just talking about, the things that we do not perceive at a conscious level. Because those are, you know, can be referred to as energy psychologies. And ultimately, everything is energy, right?
Right.
And so when I use those techniques to guide people to get in touch with their shadow self, sometimes people get a little bit afraid. They're like, "Ooh, shadow, what's that all about?" Right?
Yeah.
It's all that yucky stuff. It can be what we think of as yucky. And it's also all of those wonderful things, like those abilities to sense things beyond what we typically sense. It's that intuition, that creativity, all those things that we get taught not to be.
Yes.
And so anything that is tamped down can become part of the shadow. The goal, I think, is to get in touch with all of that, because we're all of those things. We're the yucky stuff that we don't want to look at. And we're also all of that wonderful stuff that sometimes we don't fully connect with, because, again, we're taught not to.
We're taught to be humble in any way we are looking at ourselves and being all right. That's considered not humble in a lot of our culture, you know, and it's
right. Like,
humility is, that's not what humility is, you know, and pride's getting caught up a lot, like this and that. But, you know, I agree with you on that. So, I mean, just to change people's ideas and reframing how they think about their shadow is a really great idea. You know, you can do so much with that. You know, you can find like the most traumatic part of it and maybe find something good that came out of it eventually. You know,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And what you said is absolutely perfect. It's a reframe. Everything is about turning it, retelling our story, you know, and it's not that we're lying to ourselves or deceiving ourselves. We're retelling the story in a way that has more growth potential for us.
I love that. Yes.
Yeah.
And I love growth potential. I do. I love to learn. I love to be improving if I can. You know, I mean, I will be all up in a corner and cry sometimes, but that's part of the process, I think, you know, it is letting yourself feel it, you know, stuff like that. And so like, when did you start doing this? Did you start doing this for yourself and then decided to start reaching out and showing people?
Yeah. So like in the early days of NLP, I took a little seminar when I was in college and I was like, oh, this is so cool. And, you know, let me practice on you, that kind of stuff. And then I started with the EFT probably about 19-ish years ago. I learned it for myself. It helped me through some really dark times, you know, the loss of a spouse, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And then I learned it and I started working with other people to guide them through their own process.
That is really great. I plan to do an EFT podcast eventually, but I haven't yet because it does help so much with anxiety for me. When I do the especially around the eyes, you know, when I do the tapping, that's what that is, listeners. And NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, I have talked about on the podcast before, because that's how I had a friend who did readings. She's been on the podcast. Her name's Allie. She pretty much fixed my agoraphobia, my lifelong since puberty agoraphobia in 20 minutes she said it was using NLP therapy. I don't know how she did it though. But it was all written, you know, we did it through writing and a chat and messaging. So, I mean, it worked. That was in 2018 and I'm still not afraid. Every once in a while, I might be a little, but I'll get through it. Walk out the door anyway, you know?
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And that's one of the great things about these techniques because it seems like they accelerate the change process.
They do.
Yeah.
And they make you integrate and process all that stuff fast.
Integration. Yeah. That's the key. You got to integrate everything. And so that's part of it as well. And then the thing that I really love about them is it becomes your tool and your technique. So you're not dependent on me, you know, or any other practitioner. You can just do it yourself because now it's yours.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. It's like instead of, you know, with the saying, teach a man to fish and he'll eat every night, eat every day for his life, whatever. Yeah. So giving him a fish when he's hungry.
That's
you know, we can all, I hope that everybody can do that with, if they have coaches or mentors or anyone who's helping you, you can get to a point where you can either teach someone else more, you know, and teach more people, or, you know, just be satisfied with your life and having and understand yourself. I love trying to understand the stuff I don't get. And it isn't comfortable sometimes. It really isn't, you know, and what kind of advice do you give when people get to that kind of uncomfortable place?
So there are various techniques. I mean, I think one of them is you have to embrace the shadow, you know, you have to walk through that dark night of the soul and own it as yours because that's part of your journey and who you are. And, you know, it can be uncomfortable. And so ultimately we have to become our own best friend. We have to sit with ourselves and face the darkness and the unpleasantness. And how can we be with anyone else if we can't be with ourselves?
Yes.
And you just kind of sit there. And I suddenly had this flash of a scene from an old movie, What Dreams May Come, with Robin Williams.
Yes.
And there's a scene where he goes to hell and he finds his wife and he says, I'm just going to stay here with you. And he did. And staying there with her in that hellish moment gave them both the power to transcend and go back into the heaven. Right.
Yeah.
And I think we need to give ourselves that gift.
That is, yes.
Of sitting with ourselves in that hellishness and just understanding that this is rising out of the ashes.
Yeah. And there is a lot of hellishness we've all been through. Especially by the time we're four, I think it starts even when you're little, you can't communicate your needs, you know, even then, you know, when you really have some really severely basic needs that you cannot fulfill, there are no communication tools other than, you know, in that first few years of life, like, you know, we learn, I guess, you know, squeaky wheel gets the grease or maybe not, you know, one or the other.
And that's a great point because we get taught so many things that are not true.
Yes.
And we believe it.
Yes. We think of them as facts.
Yeah. We believe it. You know, we believe that we're a bad girl for doing that or, whatever. Girls don't do that. You know, all those kinds of messages that we get or you're too much this and you're not enough that, you know.
I hate that. Yes. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of judgments and on ourselves from hearing media or other people talking like that. Mm-hmm. Or just suspecting they're thinking like that, or even being like telepathic or empathic and feeling or thinking, hearing the judgments of other people. And most of the time, they're really just judging themselves when they're being like that.
Right.
They're picking out qualities in these people that they don't like about themselves is what I've noticed. And maybe they're not aware of it. You know,
it's that mirror, you know, and especially because at young ages, you know, our brains are not developed.
Yes.
We go through this, the DTaB, you know, we start at delta wave and then we go to theta and alpha and beta. And at those different stages, our minds perceive things differently. And so we do believe it. We, all these messages we're bombarded with. And what I remind people is, it's not what you don't know that holds you back. It's what you do know that's not true that holds you back.
Oh, that's so true.
And so, you know, we can, when we're in those dark places, just ask yourself, is this true?
Like, why? What part of this I tell myself? And part of this is someone telling me I should have that reaction. And what was my real reaction? What's the real thing? Very, very, you know, when I'm doing this kind of work, when I get down to the very, very root of whatever it was that made me act a way that I'm not proud of, you know, it's an insecurity. And it's almost like a little girl insecurity. And I got to like put it to bed and like read a story, you know, as an example, the metaphor. You got to take care of it, kind of that memory in a way. And like you said, reframing it, give yourself a different story for it. Or as one guest said, you can kind of tell yourself a different ending. And your imagination maybe doesn't know the difference and will eventually be at peace with whatever.
Because our brains don't distinguish between any of that. We're the ones who go, oh, this is real and that's not real.
Yeah, because I know when I'm in a dream, it's real. This is what's happening right now. This is life. Yeah. It's like whatever life is, it's this dream. It's I'm not going anywhere. This is how it is in most dreams for me. When I wake up, I'm like, where am I? And it fades and then I forget it, but those dreams feel like that's exactly what's happening right now, and that's just kind of an interesting thing. And a lot of times our shadow selves do come out in dreams, you know, the things if it needs to be addressed, it'll come up in a dream a lot of times.
If we're not listening, because it sends us so many signals, right?
Right.
Our shadow self, the universe, we get all these signals and we just ignore them. And when we ignore them too long, it's going to demand our attention through dreams, through our bodies, because all that stuff lives in our bodies, right?
Yes.
Our bodies are just energy at a different frequency. And it lives in our body. And so when we resolve issues and kind of long circuitous way back to EFT and NLP, when we resolve issues, we also have to think about resolving them in our bodies, because that's where we hold. And so when we change our thinking, change our thoughts, we also have to change how we do things with our bodies. And that helps to anchor the new thought.
I didn't ever think of that before. Yeah. So like, You could relate it to something as simple as, you know, unfisting your hand. That's something I do. I fist my hand. I have a hand tremor, an essential tremor. And when I'm anxious, I shake more. So I fist my hands. And if I just go, then I can remember the mindset of, I'm not anxious. I'm in control of the situation, stuff like that. You know, I never thought about that, putting it together with, that's really smart. Yeah. Do you have anything like that worked that you started with? Like I was just saying with my hand, like something you did, like a held where you held tension. Cause a lot of people hold tension, the energy in different places, you know?
Yeah. So I found that I had constant pain in this part of my neck. And for anyone who's listening and not seeing, I'm kind of rubbing on the right side of my neck here. And as I started to connect and resolve some of the shadow stuff, it was shame. It was shame. And as I just felt like I was in constant pain and it would radiate up to my head and down to my shoulder. And as I resolved it and released, because if you think about the toxic energy and it is going to accumulate and it's going to slow down the frequency in our cells, then toxins from our food and our environment are going to accumulate in that area as well. And so that's where we're going to get disease and aches and pains and all that stuff. And
they have no seemingly
place. Yeah. Yeah. And so as I resolved some of that, the pain went away and it was just like magic. Oh my God, it's gone.
That's amazing. And how did you identify it as shame? Did it just come to you? And is that when it really lit?
Yeah, because, you know, I was going through some of those low frequency emotions like fear, anger, sadness, guilt, shame, and getting to those. And that's when the relief came.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. You can feel it as it kind of pools in different areas of your body. And maybe it's because you have a weakness in that area, or maybe there was an injury in that area. And so that's where the low frequencies are going to kind of collect.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Because there's a weakness there.
And I have a question. Do you think in that example you're giving, you know, I think that's just fabulous. I've never heard it put that way before, but that's what I feel like it's happens too. And I guess I was thinking like how to explain this to the listeners in a way, like when you have NLP therapy or do EFT, listeners or watchers, they both will relax you to the state to where you're not judging yourself as much, is what I found. And like when I had my NLP experience and I felt like a choking sensation, like a word had to be, something had to be said. It was really magical, but it's kind of scary. But I went through it and I finally found the words and I said them.
Yes.
And then, I mean, it was really weird. Like I have to say something, but I don't know what it is or I'll choke to death. It felt dramatic. Yeah. It felt dramatic, but it wasn't like anyone was choking me. It was something psychosomatic, something going on there and energetic. You know, and it got me to say something. The words were, "It's not fair." And the words just came out. And then I was like, and I ran out the door, you know, and it was just like, I've never had a problem. I can do that. And I felt my solar plexus just like open up, you know, but I guess it blocked from being afraid of leaving the house. You know, so NLP therapy is just amazing how it shifts the energy and the way you think it at the same time.
Yeah. And when you said the throat, I've had that experience as well, where I would just like, you know, reach kind of like almost there to face whatever the shadow was, you know, and then my throat would constrict and I was painfully so.
Yes.
And as I persisted and kind of persevered through it, suddenly the constriction went away. And you speak because we have so much power in that throat chakra, the power of truth and expression. And when you connect with your truth and your shadow and you speak it or express it in some way, the energy is amazing.
That is so true. That is absolutely true. And I think that's just great that you know these things and you're helping people this way and getting rid of people's fears, anything holding them back, like how you do or you're doing with sounds like you know all kinds of learning techniques. and the way people learn differently and stuff like that. And so that's why you said there's different approaches, I think, in the beginning, because everybody does learn differently. And that's like, I think that you'd be a great at helping people understand this stuff because you understand how different people learn too. Not only are you enthusiastic about it and you've done it yourself, but you you can understand that, you know. So I think that's great. How can people find out, like, how can they learn from you? And where do they have a website or?
Yeah, so it's called intentionallifecoaching.net, and you can reach out to me there, and I'm happy to hear from people. I'm happy to talk about EFT or NLP or whatever you want to talk about.
All right, and I'll put that in the description of podcast, you guys, and if there's anything else she wants to add to that, as you might think of, not on the moment, on the spot, we'll put that in there too. So I guess I'd like to thank my sponsor, Everclear. Everclear is an advice app, and you can get your advice from psychics and empaths so you can get the clarity you need to create the life you deserve. And I'm an advisor on Everclear under the name Lisa P, L-E-E-S-A-P. And Sally, lastly, I know you've got some great advice about how to figure out what I'm asking you to give advice on. Somebody wants to find a coach. And they really want someone to deeply understand their pain, because they do. Everybody was looking for a coach that they do. They want someone to deeply understand. I can tell you're someone who would. So how would they need to feel like they connect with that coach? What would you, do you have any like red flags, or do you have any advice for finding that coach?
So I would just say, trust your instincts and your impressions. I mean, I've had some fabulous coaching experiences, and I've had some that were horrible. And the reason I had the horrible one was because I didn't listen to the messages that I was having inside myself. Because you're right. I mean, it's so important to feel like you're heard. And that you're going to be able to connect, and this person is going to help guide you through whatever you're hoping to accomplish. So the connecting with the wrong coach is never going to work out, you know, and we try it.
Usually should know that, you know, and not always, maybe it comes out later, you know, maybe the coach can't tell it first. Because some people are very good at hiding things.
Exactly.
Unethical coaches, but we're not talking about that. Because you're not, I can tell, you could help, you are, and you can, and you will continue to help a lot of people, I bet. And I've just been, some of the perspectives you've given me in this podcast are just love. I can't wait to listen back to it. And when I'm mixing it and like, it really made me think about some things. And I love that. So that's just great. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. And I guess we'll just let our listeners and watchers know goodbye for now. And I think she gave great advice there. So do that. That's homework. And everybody have a great time wherever you may be, and have another podcast in a few days. And until then, peace out. Goodbye. Okay, listeners and watchers, we have a PS. That's a podcast script. That's a podcast thing we forgot to talk about. I just asked her if she has any books or anything, and she says she has something for free to offer you.
I do, absolutely, and probably more than one. Ebooks. I'm going to send links so that you can connect with the ebook, and it will guide you how to download it and access it. And there are going to be some on different topics, including a little bit about a hero's journey.
Yes. Okay, guys. Wanted you to know about that. When she told me, I was like, oh, free book, free download, free ebook. I'd rather read an ebook sometimes, most of the time, actually, because my eyes are getting old. But thank you for letting us know about that. And I'll put that in the description too, listeners. And again, have a great time wherever you may be.